The petition for a writ of certiorari is granted. Those 9 words today from the U.S. Supreme Court mean 9 justices will consider an appeal of the First Circuit's decision last summer to overturn Jihad Tsarnaev's death sentence. Now, remember, Tsarnaev was convicted of all 30 charges against him and sentenced to death in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. Joining us now for more is retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be back.
All right, so I want to comb this out correctly, Judge Gertner. My understanding is the appeal is about the legality of jury selection in the Tsarnaev case, but what's at stake is whether Tsarnaev receives the death penalty. Is that right?
Right. It's also about the failure to admit evidence of Tamerlan Tsarnaev's triple murder in Waltham. And so it's two things. One was jury selection, and the other was evidence that was excluded from the penalty phase.
And the thought was that those, I don't know what the right word is, Judge Gertner, mistakes or failure then led to an outcome that called the sentence of death into question?
That's right. That's right.
So can you walk us through that just a little?
Well, it's only with respect to the penalty phase, because as you recall, Tsarnaev agreed that he had done the crime. So it was only the penalty phase. And it was a question of asking a juror whether anything you heard about this case has led you to, would interfere with your ability to be fair, rather than asking, what did you know about the case? And the first question, anything you know would lead you to be unfair in this case, allows the juror to decide, well, let's see. I watched it with bated breath, and I know every detail, but don't worry, I can be fair. Essentially, the juror is making the determination of whether they can be fair. And the argument is that the rule, particularly in a case as high profile as this, requires the judge to make that determination. Tell me what you know. Tell me what you heard about the case. Tell me your impression. Then I'll decide whether it is fair. So that was the first issue. And the second issue was the argument of the defense was that essentially Jokar was intimidated by his older brother, and therefore the failure to allow the defense to introduce evidence about which Jokar was aware that his brother had committed a triple murder in Waltham was error. How could the jury have not heard that? If they had, they would have understood that he was a frightening and intimidating presence.
All right, so with that in mind, the First Circuit, based on that argument, overturned a death sentence. What are the implications of the U.S. Supreme Court deciding to consider this case and possibly reverse the First Circuit's ruling from July?
If the Supreme Court reverses the ruling, then it will go back to the U.S. First Circuit. And the reason it would go back is that there were a number of issues that the court didn't get to. In other words, the court finds issue 1 and 2 is enough to throw out this conviction, this penalty. And so we won't get to the rest of the catalog of errors. One part of the catalog of errors that they'd have to get back to is the accusation that two of the jurors committed essentially misconduct by not disclosing social media postings, even after they had been told not to post and told to disclose what they had posted. So this is not the end of it. Even if the Supreme Court overturns the ruling with respect to these issues, there are still other issues that the First Circuit has to deal with.
So that begs the question, for those who don't want to relive, for example, victims' families, who don't want to be reliving this trial all the time, this is an ongoing saga for the cities, the families. How will the Supreme Court's involvement impact that ongoing pain? It sounds like this could drag things out further.
It certainly could. It's not unusual in a death penalty case for there to be multiple appeals. That's not unusual, particularly because it's the ultimate punishment. I should add that one argument that the defense has made, and I imagine will be making to the Biden administration, is Jokar had admitted to the crime, was prepared to take life imprisonment years and years ago, all that pain could have been eliminated if they had simply not put the death penalty on the table. Then he would have been in prison over 5 years ago, and it would have been over. So, yes, it's terribly troubling for the victims, but the way out of that was 5 years ago. And perhaps even now, if the government decides to take the death penalty off the table.
So to that point, so the push that got led to the July 2020 ruling was spearheaded under the last president, President Donald Trump. Now we have a new president, Joe Biden. You mentioned him a moment ago. He has been a death penalty opponent. He pledged that as a president, he would, quote, work to pass legislation to eliminate the death penalty federally, end quote. Hasn't done that yet, hasn't reinstated the moratorium on the federal death penalty. But anywhere in this process, is it in fact the case that the death penalty could be taken off the table by the administration and simply no longer a part of the picture for the Boston Marathon bomber?
Yes, although I have to correct you. The death penalty decision was made under, in the Obama administration, was not a Trump decision. But Trump certainly has hastened death penalty executions under his watch. But yes, at any time.
But the push to overturn back was under the Trump administration, right? And I'm not being defensive. I just want to understand how this is playing out at the presidential level.
Yeah, the put. Well, that's right. I mean, Biden indicated that he was inclined to both reinstate the moratorium and to reconsider the death penalty. Trump, of course, took a completely different position. At any time, the government could, in deference to the concerns that you're raising, for example, about the victims, could say death penalty is off the table, in which case the case is over, just over.
Last question for you, Judge Gertner. This is an announcement that the Supreme Court is going to consider, so this won't happen for a while. A decision won't come for a while. But could the court decide something here that is precedent-setting that we need to watch for?
Well, it's possible. This is a unique set of facts in the Tsarnaev case. So the unique set of facts here was a case that the defense at least argued should never have taken place in Boston because Boston was the victim. This is not just the usual pretrial publicity situation. This is a situation where everyone was locked down for a period of time, might well have been on that finish line in other years. And given that, the obligation to do a fair jury selection is even more substantial than in the ordinary case. So, yes, it could be precedent. We are getting more and more high-profile cases like Chauvin, for example, the police officer who killed, accused of killing George Floyd. Yes, we're getting many more high-profile cases, and so this could be precedent for that. But on the other hand, this is a pretty unique set of facts here. So the answer is a wishy-washy answer, uncharacteristic of me. But is
I can live with it, though. We'll come back and talk about this more. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Great to talk to you, Judge Gertner. Thanks for coming back.
Great to talk to you, too. Bye-bye.